Everybody, I'm Geek Soul Brother, and this is Your Fandom Fix. It's my podcast where I talk to you guys and girls about movie and TV reviews, news, commentary on fandoms that you love. I personally love sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, but I also care about social issues, so you will hear every now and then you'll hear a little something in the show about that. I like to support the community and the culture, especially the blurred culture, you know, black nerds out there doing their thing. I love to support them. And, yeah, this is my podcast. This is episode 11. And, today is February 14th. I'm pre-recording the show. So today it should air on February 14th and, 2022. Which is also Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to all you nerdy couples out there, all you nerdy couples that enjoy each other's company, enjoy living your nerd life, your romantic nerd life together. So we're going to get into a little nerdy, geeky Valentine's Day discussions and whatnot. It's also It's also a couple other days, but I'll get into that. You can find me on Spotify. Just look for Geek Soul Brother, Your Fandom Fix. And you can also find me on Indie Live Music Radio. It's a digital radio station. It's put out by the Urban Socialites NJ.com. And you can find the show on there. It's on TuneIn.com. Just look for it Mondays. 6 p.m. usually plays on Mondays. They usually air it on Mondays at 6 p.m. So look for it there. And otherwise, you can find me on Spotify. Again, just do a search for Geek Soul Brother. And if you favorite the show, you know, you get little notifications and stuff like that. And you can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I post a little bit on there. Been posting a little bit more on Instagram lately. And you know, just give me a shout outs over there. You know, let's have a discussion, a little bit of discussion and stuff like that. Shout outs to St. Clinton, my old buddy from Twitter. He started following the show. I really appreciate it, St. Clinton. Anybody else, I'm a look and see who's following the show and, you know, definitely give you guys a shout out. But again, it's Valentine's Day. And, you know, it's also, let me run this down. It's also International Epilepsy Day, which is important for everybody suffering from epilepsy and stuff. That's definitely a situation there. So, you know, hearts go out to everybody dealing with that. Library Lovers Day, for everybody that loves libraries, I guess. National Clean Out Your Computer Day, which is always a good idea. National Organ Donor Day. It's also February 14th of 2022 is National Organ Donor Day. So if you have a heart to do it, no pun intended, but if you have a want to do it, definitely contact, you know, whoever, contact the medical establishment at your local local doctors and whatnot, and let them know that you want to donate, be an organ donor one day. Pet Theft Awareness Day. That's important. People stealing pets. That's ridiculous. How low can you be to steal somebody else's pet? That's so trifling. That's so trifling. It's a horrible situation. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I want to get into some Valentine stuff just for fun. Want to do a little Valentine stuff. Some of my favorite romantic sci-fi films, but it's also Black History Month. I want to remind you guys that it's Black History Month, so I want to get into that with a list of, you know, maybe some Black-led sci-fi movies that I've always loved, and maybe you guys want to check them out. But anyway, my positive message, I try to put a positive message in each show, and my positive message today is life is practice. I was just pondering this idea that, you know, we all have mistakes. We all make mistakes, or we go through moments of failure. But really, the failure is just practice. Recently, I started painting, And I'm in the mindset with my paintings right now that they're just practice, that I'm just practicing. So there's no real mistake on the canvas. It's just things that I'm doing. You know, it's just practice. It's not that I'm doing something wrong on the canvas or anything like that. It's just practice. Right now it's abstract, so it's really practice. I'm just getting the feel of what kind of flows out as far as my artistic hand, as far as holding the brush and putting the paint on the canvas. I'm just getting my artistic feel and stuff like that. I painted in the past, and I painted some interesting, you know, a little bit of fancy art, a lot of mountain scenes, a lot of Bob Ross. But they've been calling me Bob Ross at work. I'm growing my hair out, so they've been calling me Bob Ross at work when I tell them that I've been painting. But life is practice. I don't want you guys beating yourself up over mistakes and failures, especially when the mistakes or failures aren't going to really, I mean, they may affect you, you know, in the future and whatnot, but they may not affect you long range if you kind of get yourself back to center. Say you do something wrong or something that you consider wrong at the time. You know, you just keep working. You keep a positive attitude. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I have a hard time keeping a positive attitude if I've done something that I don't like how it turned out or something like that. But if you do get a chance to keep a positive attitude and kind of stay on the path that you're trying to be on in order to achieve the things that you're trying to achieve. A lot of people failed, but they don't call it failure. They call it like Edison. He inventing the light bulb or coming up with the light bulb. It took him a long time. It took many trial and errors, and he learned to have the philosophy that he's learning what not to do in order to learn what to do. There's a lot of people that have their own philosophies when it comes to, you know, not seeing things as failure, but seeing things as, you know, try and try again, right? So life is practice. I know it's starting to help me with that idea that life is practice, and, you know, not to beat myself up over, you know, things that I could have done different. You know, I just have to learn. Because my whole life, you're trying to get better and better. So take it all in. I want you guys to, you know, to feel really negative as time goes on. You know, if you make a mistake, as time goes on, you can correct it, or you realize that you've learned from it. You know, some of us have to go through mistakes in order to be successful, because you have to learn from your mistakes. You have to learn and get those experiences and whatnot, and maybe pass them to others. So, yeah, life is practice. Don't beat yourself up over stuff. And so, Black History Month again. As I said in last podcast, some of you guys are under the impression that we were given Black History Month in February, and some people complain about it being the shortest month. I understand the complaint. But let's clear some stuff up. Nobody gave us Black History Month. There was a black historian named Carter G. Woodson who created Black History Week. He created in 1926 Black History Week. I believe it was between Presidents George Washington and Lincoln's birthday. So that fell in February. That's why it started in February. And then in the 70s, they turned it into Black History Month. So it wasn't that we were given the shortest day of the month, but it just so happened that from the week it expanded to a month. It happened to be in February. But I really appreciate Black History Month, and I appreciate a Black Nerd Black History Month. Again, shout outs to 28 Days of Cosplay. I love all the cosplayers, all the great cosplayers that are coming out doing a great job, just showing that we could cosplay any character and we can enjoy any character. And it's not about who looks closest to the character. It's about the enjoyment of the character and the cosplay and everything like that. So if people can, if people can get into, black people, if the world can understand about black people cosplaying as different things and not, sit there questioning who looks like what or whatever. Hardly anybody looks like the characters that I don't care. You're not superhuman and stuff like that. It's just a costume. And a lot of people put their heart and soul into creating it. So shout outs 20 days of a black cosplay. Really appreciate that. Again, you're listening to Your Fandom Fix on Spotify and hopefully on Indie Live Music Radio. Okay, like I said, it's Valentine's Day, and sometimes nerds celebrate in their own little special way. You know, they do things on their own way. You know, maybe you guys are giving each other Marvel or DC candy hearts, Star Wars candy hearts or something like that. Maybe you're cuddling up with each other under your favorite anime blankets. I don't know, Demon Slayer, Naruto blanket, who knows? I don't know, watching Miyazaki movies and sitting back with some wine and some nice little dinner, putting on a little Miyazaki, or maybe getting steamy, I don't know. Maybe cosplaying Catwoman and Batman, Han Solo, Slave Leia, I don't know. Doing a little something cosplay in the bedroom, who knows? But it's all good, playing your favorite games together, stuff like that. It's all good. You guys celebrate the way you want. You enjoy yourselves. You enjoy each other's company. It's Valentine's. Show each other some nerdy love. That's all good. Now, if you want a couple ideas for some romantic sci-fi films, I had a list that I put together a while ago. And granted, it could be a few movies on here that I missed that have come up since I made this list a while ago. But I did want to start with a movie I put on recently. And also, I guess, give you a little quick review. It's called Needle in a Time Stack. It's a sci-fi, but it's really a strong love story. It was written and directed by John Ridley. He did a few things. He did, 12 Years a Slave. I forgot the name of TV show that he did, Crime Stories or something like that. And that was on ABC a while back, and he's done a few things. He's done several things and whatnot. It's based on a short story by Robert Silverberg, and it was really a touching story. I bring it up because, again, for you blurreds out there, also I bring it up because it's a film starring a black couple and actually a lot of people of color in this movie. I really appreciated the diversity in the movie, but it had a black couple starring Leslie Odom Jr. as Nick Mickelson and Cynthia Erivo, who was Janine Mickelson. Now, this was a couple, man and wife, that were really in love with each other, and they showed it. It's one of the most touching parts of the movie is that Nick and Janine, the characters, they really show their love for each other. And this situation, why is it a sci-fi? The situation is that Janine, she was married to this guy Tommy, and then she got divorced, and then she ended up married Nick, right? So Janine was the ex-wife of Tommy. Tommy was also the best friend of Nick, the husband. But when, they kind of separated, went their ways when Nick and Janine married each other. But the reason why it's sci-fi is because Tommy and some of the rich people in this fictional world have the ability or can pay for the ability to go back in time. So what's happening? Tommy is possibly trying to break Nick and Janine up go back in time, break them up as if they never met, so that he could stay married to Janine. Meanwhile, Nick is aware of this, and he's like, I think Tommy's trying to break us up, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to tell you beyond that, except that Nick has a past, too. It also stars Frida Pinto. I love Frida Pinto also. She stars as Alex, and there are a few other actors in it. And like I said, the reason that this is so good is because the emotional focus of Nick and Janine is that they really show their love for each other. Like Cynthia Erivo does like this kind of like love letter to Nick. And you could just see her, you could just see how Cynthia Erivo's kind of pouring herself into the role and stuff like that. And just the idea that somebody could go back in time and keep you from marrying, from being with somebody that you love so much is a scary thought. I literally got anxiety when I understood the premise of the film. Like, oh my God, this is really deep, and it's kind of frightening if people have the ability to go back in time and change things like that. And they showed a way. It's almost like after the discovery of time travel in the movie, like people had to get used to the chances of things being changed in their lives. And I don't know, that kind of gave a little bit of, it immediately set up this fictional fear of, your life could change in the film and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know that you had a previous life or whatever. So that's my first suggestion for looking at a sci-fi movie, looking at a romantic sci-fi. Oh, and it's on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out. My next up is The Beauty Inside. It's a Korean film that I saw a few years ago. Basically, the protagonist, he wakes up after he turns 18. He wakes up and he literally has another body. Like, not even Korean. It's like another body. Well, yeah, I think it is Korean at first. But then you see throughout the film, he's changing body. Like, every day he wakes up with a different body. Could be a different race, a different gender, something like that. And or different sex. It could be male or female, whatever. And it's still him. In his mind, it's still him. But, nobody will know that it's him since the beginning. His body doesn't revert back to normal. It just changes to another body. And he's developed his lifestyle where he can work by himself. He's a furniture maker and he works by himself and falls in love with this girl. The only person that knows that his body changes is his best friend and his mother. And he falls in love with this girl. And throughout the movie, he kind of introduces himself to his girl. And in the beginning, he has to reintroduce himself to the girl in order to get to know her and for her to get to know him. It's a really sweet movie. It's a romantic film. Definitely a sci-fi. Definitely this quirky type of sci-fi. But I like it because it's like a strong romantic film. It's not real. There are some comedic moments, but it's not a comedy. It's like real. It's touching. It's touching to the characters and whatnot. So yeah, I would check that out. Another film, Age of Adeline. She's a woman that had an accident, a car accident, and something that ran into water and lightning struck and something like that. And all of a sudden she can't die. So she's immortal at the time. And she falls in love with a guy, but she's not aging and he is. And then as time goes by, they show in the film as time goes by, I didn't see all of the film. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't see all the film, but she leaves the guy at some point, I guess because she realizes that she's aging and he's not. So she kind of, has to hide that fact. And she leaves the guy. And she ends up falling with another guy decades later. She ends up falling with another guy. And you see that there's a connection and whatnot. So that's an interesting film, too. That's kind of a cute film. A classic sci-fi film. I'm going to give this to you guys, The Lake House. Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. basically the lake house is that two people want to get away. I think Keanu is I don't know if he's a writer or not, something like that, or Sandra's the right one too. And they rent a lake house. The thing is, they rent the lake house at different times, 3 years apart or something like that. And they find out that if they leave a letter in the mailbox of the lake house, that the letter can be read by the other person. So Keanu writes a letter to Sandra Bullock, and she could see it like years later, years in separation. I forgot who's ahead. I think maybe Sandra Bullock's ahead in time, and Keanu Reeves is back in time or whatever. And they kind of fall in love just by writing letters to each other. It's like a couple other movies. I forgot the You Got Mail or something like that, I think, where people are writing to each other and kind of fall in love through their writing. Yeah, The Lake House was a really interesting concept. I liked it. Also, there's a movie called Passengers. It's Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Now, this one kind of, it came off as romantic film. There's a life ship. There's a life spaceship where people are in cryogenic stasis, and they're traveling to a planet. It's going to take like 70 years for them to go to a planet, something like that. Maybe even 100 years, I don't know. But they're all supposed to be in cryogenic stasis. But what happens is Chris Pratt's character wakes up, and he's trying to make the best of it. He realizes that he's going to be the only one on the ship on this long journey, and he's probably going to die by himself. He keeps looking at Jennifer Lawrence in a cryogenic chamber, and I don't know, this was the most immoral, this was the most immoral type of, like, fall in love with somebody. There's a situation, and she wakes up, right? And, you know, she's like, oh my God, what happened, blah, 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 and she wakes up, and they slowly end up falling in love, whatever. But also Jennifer Lawrence realizes that she's going to be the only one. Her and Chris Pratt are going to be the only ones, and they're going to wake up and, you know, they may not see the end of their travel through space to another planet and stuff. So it's kind of weird, but the romance that they show is kind of interesting. I don't know. You guys might like it. Time Traveler's Wife is another one, Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams. Now, this one's sweet, although it's a little weird at first, because Eric Bana, he's playing a time traveler, and he already knows his wife, but I forgot the situation, because again, this one I saw in bits and pieces, but it is romantic film, nice romantic film, and Eric Bana's character sees his wife periodically throughout her life. So he sees her as a kid, you know, checking up on her, making sure she's okay. Just letting her know that he's trying to watch out for her, something like that. And he sees her periodically and stuff. So as she grows up, he gets to know her in these periods that where he can visit her back in time. And she slowly starts, I guess, to fall in love with him and stuff like that. So, again, pretty sweet movie. Has its up and downs, has its little spin moments, but pretty sweet. Another one that I think is really interesting. A lot of people didn't watch it. A few watched it, but I believe it was maybe a European-American joint venture, but the movie Upside Down was really interesting. The premise was that it was sort of like a Romeo and Juliet type of situation where there were two planets and they actually had opposing gravity. So everything, and they were very close to each other, so close that there were mountain peaks that almost touched each other. On the bottom planet, and one floated right above the other. They orbited each other. On the one planet, the people would go down. They would be attracted to that planet. on the top planet, the one above it, people would be attracted up. So even if you're from the top planet and you're on the bottom planet's surface, the pull of the top, you're still wanting to go up. So they had to have special weights and stuff like that to be on planets. Unfortunately, the upper planet had the rich people and the bottom planet had the poor people. And so a couple ends up falling in love from each different planet. And not only are they culturally opposite, but they're opposite in gravity. So Upside Down was really interesting, kind of layered sci-fi fantasy type of film that added a little something to the romance, added a little something to a situation of opposites, literally added the idea of opposites attract. That one's a good one. You guys should look that up. About Time, this kid discovers that he can travel back in time if he quietly goes into a closet. He can travel back in time. And again, I think it's Rachel McAdams in this one too. He falls in love. Well, they both fall in. No, he falls in love with this girl. And he's going back in time to, if he makes a mistake with the girl, if he says the wrong thing or something like that, he goes back in time to say the right thing, which again is a little ethically, you know, it's time travel. It's a little ethically sideways. So I don't know. Well, no, you know, somewhere in the film, she kind of finds out a little bit of something of what he's doing and realizes that he, you know, basically manipulated her. But it's more like, I guess it's more like he discovered what she liked, because his intentions was really he fell in love with her. He just wanted to say and do the right thing. But yeah, it still has some issues and whatnot. In Your Eyes is a film that I believe Josh Whedon wrote. Now, this is a cute film. Two people suddenly, well, not suddenly, I think even since they were kids, I don't know. Every now and then since they were kids, but as adults, they have a telepathic link and they live in different parts of the country. They don't even know who each other are. It's just suddenly they have this telepathic link and they're able to see through each other's eyes. It has a little bit of thriller to it, but it's definitely romance where they start to know each other. They start to know what each other is like. They start to see, they look in the mirror and they actually see what each other looks like and stuff like that. So that was a cute film. That last time I saw it was on Netflix. I don't know if it's still there. One of my favorite films is Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. I love this film. I just watched it the other day again. I usually try to watch it, not around this time, but I usually try to watch it like maybe once a year, once every couple of years. But I love this film so much because it's a film where the premise is that a couple, you know, Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, they kind of broke up or they're basically starting to not like each other. They're basically starting to have that couple situation where, you know, they may be getting tired of each other or something like that. So instead of like working it out, one of them, Kate Winslet, goes to a service where you can have a person erased from your memory. Like basically have a person erased from your memory. So if you fall out of love with somebody or if you're in love with somebody but you don't want to be with them anymore and it hurts, you can have that person erased from your memory so it doesn't hurt anymore. So Jim Carrey, he kind of finds out and he goes through a process also, and that's what the film's about, him going through a process. The beautiful thing about the most romantic thing about this film is that as his memory of Kate Winslet starts to get erased, he starts to remember why he loved her, and then he doesn't want to lose the memories, and that's a beautiful thing about the film. I don't want to tell you what the end is like, but that's a beautiful thing about the film is that it reminds everybody, basically as watching the film, reminds everybody kind of, you know, can you discover what made you love somebody in the first place again? And I'm not going to lie, Geek Soul Brother always tears up a little bit at the end. I get a little watery-eyed. Because the idea of it is so impacting emotionally to me. like, you guys might watch it and might not, you know, it might not hit you the same way, but, you know, it's very interesting to me. There's another movie called Timer, in which everybody that signs up for this service, they get a little clock, and the clock reads, I don't know how, they didn't explain the science perfectly, but the little clock, it's on your wrist. It's like a little digital thing just under your skin. And it's a countdown clock that shows you the moment that you're going to meet your number one, your soulmate, basically. Your soulmate, your twin flame, if you want to call it. And it doesn't matter who you meet. The question is, and here's the premise of the movie, question is, what if you meet somebody that's not on the clock, but you're starting to fall for her? Are you going to wait till the clock ticks to zero and meet the one that they say that you're going to be in love with and is supposed to be your true love? Or are you going to go with somebody that you just met and you're starting to have feelings for that person? So it's sort of like, what do you trust? Do you trust your heart or do you trust this technology and stuff? The Adjustment Bureau, also one of my favorite romantic films. I just love Emily Blunt. I really love Emily Blunt. Just in the variety of character that she chose. And her and Matt Damon's a politician. Emily Blunt is like this, you know, kind of like a happy, odd, kind of, you know, a little bit goofy, but a very much in control of who she is. And Matt Damon, like, instantly likes her. And he wants to find her again. Meanwhile, there are agents, maybe? You're not sure what they are, but they're guys in like these 60s FBI-looking suits. And they have something going on. Like, they have some magical or sci-fi power going on where they're sort of in control of people's destinies. And they reset destinies. That's why it's called the Adjustment Bureau. I believe it's from a comic, if I remember right. Interesting movie. Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, really fighting, you know, to be together and whatnot. When you know, spiritual forces, you know, scientific forces, mystical forces, men in black want to keep you apart. So I like that film a lot. I love Emily Blunt in it. Matt Damon's really good in it. Another one, Safety Not Guaranteed. Guy trying to travel back in time. You don't know if he's crazy or not, but he puts an ad in a newspaper, and it's, I need a partner to time travel. I did it already, but I want to do it again. I need a partner to look at the instrumentation, blah, blah, blah. You can come with me. Safety Not Guaranteed. And the girl in it, she answers the call, and you know, she's not sure, but she needs some money, so she goes along with it. And it's another cute movie. It's where, you know, you kind of trust one another. I like it because it shows, like, okay, somebody that you're interested in has a great passion. Do you go along with their passion, or do you, do you look at them and say, I don't know, a little bit crazy or whatever, and keep it moving? And I like the lesson in that. Warm Bodies, it's a few years old by now. It's, you know, what a girl kind of likes or has sympathy for this zombie. And the zombies are trying to eat people. But one zombie that she kind of likes starts to like her. And he starts to not want to eat people. So it's interesting. It's interesting in that premise, you know, love can save the day type thing. Another one, Peggy Sue Got Married. Now, this is a classic. This is an old classic one. Peggy Sue Got Married. Peggy Sue ends up going back in time, like kind of back to a future situation. She ends up going back in time to like her high school days or something like that. And she, you can tell she's not the happiest in her, you know, regular life. So she goes back in time and changes. And she kind of changes her past a little bit as to who she has fallen in love with. Like I said, classic film. forgot who was in it. I have to look it up. But yeah, a classic film. And I don't know, the last film, I had it on my list, but now that thing, well, no, second to last film, Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, started out as a really romantic sci-fi film. A guy who's kind of not lucky in love gets a new phone or a system upgrade on his phone, and the system upgrade is like Siri, but like 10,000 times smarter than Siri, to the point where you assume that the phone system is a sentient AI, like the phone actually has sentience and, you know, makes itself, I guess, into a woman, because it analyzes like what he wants in his life as far as a companion, stuff like that. And Scarlett Johansson plays a voice. It's a voice of Scarlett Johansson throughout the whole film. And slowly, Siri, it's not really named Siri in the movie, it's some other name, but Scarlett Johansson's voice character on the phone and Joaquin Phoenix, they fall in love with each other. They actually fall in love with each other, and it kind of makes you question like what love can be, you know, and will people be falling in love with their artificial intelligences? And is the artificial intelligence, it just programmed to respond to that, or does it really feel like biological systems feel? The reason why I say it really starts out as a strong romantic film, but it kind of goes in a different direction, which is really interesting. I kind of liked how it went and how things turned out in a way. But this may not be the best film if you guys want to watch, you know, a completely romantic film that'll leave you happy and whatnot. There's some situations going on that kind of throw a curveball in it. But I love rest in peace, River Phoenix. I love Joaquin Phoenix's his role in there. I love how he acted, and I also I was starting to like Scarlett Johansson's, you know, voice phone entity and whatnot, because she sounded like she really loved this dude. She really sounded like she loved this dude. So, I you know, see that as far as a science fiction, but I don't know if you want to see it as a romance. Now, the last one I suggest, one of the biggest ones, of course, ever, was Kristen Stewart as Bella trying to decide whether she wants to be with Edward or does she want to be with Jacob. Of course, we all know, you know, where it went, but, you know, Robert Pattinson, Taylor Lautner, that was one of the probably most romantic situations that came up in the 2000s. All the teens were into it. Everybody was Team Jacob or Team Edward, something like that. And although Kristen Stewart, she did, I don't think any of the actors, I don't know if any of the actors really were given a lot of credit. But as time went on, Kristen Stewart became a good actress as time went on. Robert Pattinson, nobody's seen his smaller movies that he's done recently. But he was in Tenet, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. He was in Tenet and was a really good character. And now he's playing Batman. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, he's playing Batman. What's he done since Twilight? But he's done some good stuff. He's done some actual good stuff. And Taylor Lautner, of course, he's done some things too. But that's my list. That's my list of romantic films that you want to see, that you want to check out and whatnot. Let me take a break from that, from Valentine's Day, break from that, and talk about some of these things. I saw some of the Super Bowl things. Nope. We saw Jordan Peele's trailer for Nope, like a teaser for Nope. Looked very interesting. Looked like Jordan Peele, you know, got a nice little budget to do some other stuff. And looking forward to it, looking forward to what he has in mind. Nope is looks like a story about some alien type of situation coming down, flying saucers, something like that. And it's not like a secret, you know, flying saucer comes to a deserted field with a small farmhouse, you know, nothing like that. It's like everybody can see it. So I don't know what situation is going on. I don't know what's happening, but it looks really interesting. I do like how Jordan Peele is diving into some different stuff. He's featuring black actors, black characters, diverse cast. I like that. So caught that. Also caught what looks to be really good. The Lord of the Rings Rings of Power teaser or trailer, whichever one you want to say, it revealed some stuff. And it looked pretty amazing. It looked on the level of the movies as far as the special effects. I think it's going to get really in-depth. It's going to be interesting because Amazon's going to be able to dive into this world, which is like maybe 1,000 years, 1,500 years before the Lord of the Rings series. It's going to be able to dive into the world and really get into some of the prequel type of things that, you know, that lovers of Tolkien's stories really would like to see. I'm excited about it. Amazon, this could put Amazon at the front as far as being like leaders in the sci-fi genre. They've been okay. They've been touching on, not sci-fi, I'm sorry, leaders in the family fantasy genre. They've been touching on fantasy for a minute. They got Carnival Row and a few others. I think this will put them over top as far as being the ones to feature fantasy. Whereas some of the others, like Netflix's niche is more horror, is more original horror with Stranger Things and stuff like that, and some of the other things that I mentioned in a previous podcast. Yeah, Amazon's going to be killing it with that. I also caught a little bit of the Doctor Strange trailer. I want to look again, but it showed so many things in there that I'm just looking forward to see. Doctor Strange is going to really set the Marvel Universe up for, like, just some mind-blowing stuff. It might even be that he's just showing the magical part of the Marvel Universe, whereas some of the others, like Guardians of the Galaxy, is going to show the cosmos, and, you know, some of the other stuff is going to show, like, the tech and stuff like that. So we might have, like, two or three movie threads, story threads going on in movies at once, where we had the one with the Avengers. Now we might be splitting up into several movies. We might see a bunch of things going on. This year, because of COVID, I guess, movies are backed up a little bit. So we got, on the DC side, I believe we got Aquaman, Flash, Batman, and something else. Something else, I think, is four movies that may be coming out on... Black Adam. How could I forget that? So yeah, Aquaman, Flash, Batman and Black Adam, they put a montage of trailers together, and we see a lot of guys. We see Dr. Fate. We see, oh my God, we see a few different people in the in each movie that's going to be featured. So I'm kind of excited for the DC side. They've been kind of struggling for the last several years as far as how they want to put their, you know, Warner Bros. Has been struggling on how they want to put together movies and stuff and have them flowing in the same way that Marvel does. But I think their singular movies have been doing much better. So I'm excited for this year. For the first time, I'm excited for these DC films. What else did I see? I finished Boba Fett, like a lot of you guys did. I finished Boba Fett. I was not disappointed. I thought it was pretty good. I should have suspected that with Robert Rodriguez being kind of in charge a lot with Favreau being kind of looking over the Star Wars Disney Plus universe. I should have figured that Robert Rodriguez would do like a Western type thing. And I wasn't hating it. I really loved the first two episodes of Boba Fett. I loved the Mandalorian episodes in the middle. And the the fight at the end wasn't bad. It was an okay corral type of situation, you know, last stand in the town type of thing. Reminded you a lot of like different westerns and stuff like that. So it was interesting. I think they kind of, I don't know. It didn't hit me as well as Mandalorian as far as something that I was just dying to see. But I did enjoy it, and I want to see what they do with season two. I hope they venture off into some more interesting stuff, and I do think that the writing just didn't give Boba Fett enough control over his own destiny in the story, where things were happening around him and he had to react. I didn't feel like there was that moment in the story where he strongly said, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. He was kind of reacting from like different situations and stuff like that. So I think they could have nailed that in a little bit stronger to show his character actually making the decisions, you know. But I'm, it's a basic thing. Maybe they want to do something in season two that they're setting up for, but you know, it would be nice to see him just be a little bit stronger in the direction that he wanted to go, the will that he wanted to enforce in order to stop the antagonists and stuff like that, and really save the town. Even though it kind of showed that he saved the town and whatnot, but you know, just a little bit stronger in the decision making, stuff like that. I did like Boba Fett though, in general. It was really good. Again, my name's Geek Soul Brother, and you're listening to Your Fandom Fix. It's my podcast. Getting back into podcasting, I'm really feeling comfortable about it now. Really enjoy it. We're at episode 11, and you know, I like if you guys are listening for the first time, I used a podcast. I did it with several of my guys. I'm still cool with them. But I took a long break, a few years of break, and I wanted to get back into it, and I wanted to, you know, refresh myself and get things going. So this episode 11, I'm feeling pretty good about it, and I hope that you guys are enjoying it too. It's on Spotify. Just look up Geek Soul Brother, Your Fandom Fix, or you can listen at TuneIn.com, Monday night, 6 o'clock. Most of the time I'm there, Monday night, 6 o'clock. And that's run by UrbanSocialitesNJ.com, a media group that does a lot of beneficial stuff, a lot of things on the plus side as far as mental health and just feeling good and stuff like that. So shout outs to them. And, you know, find me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Check in on me there. Anyway, it's Black History Month again. We're going to continue celebrating that with a list of Black science fiction movies and a few TV shows that I've always enjoyed. So going back to the 70s, the actual 70s, I want to give you guys a very, very Afrocentric, Afrofuturistic movie that you guys should check out. It's called Space is the Place. It's by it's a movie done by jazz aficionado Sun Ra, who he's got this crazy band. It's like Cosmic Electro something Orchestra or whatever. I forgot it. I apologize, you know, Sun Ra, memory of Sun Ra, but it's really interesting. You should check it out. You know, alien goes to Earth, really powerful alien, has to fight another powerful alien, maybe devil, maybe alien, I don't know, but he really gets into his interest in Tenet with John David Washington's Chris Nolan film, black lead in the cast, really good. I loved it. Just mind-blowing as far as the science fiction of it. It's really mind-blowing, things going back in time, forward in time, whatever. Brother from Another Planet is Joe Morton. You remember him as the scientist in Terminator 2 that, you know, was studying the arm of the first Terminator, stuff like that. He's in it. This is analogous to like an escaped slave that's trying to be on the run and is kind of being helped out in the same way that the Underground Railroad was helping enslaved Africans out. Brother from Another Planet is a classic black science fiction from back in the 80s. Really good to watch. It's dated. It's definitely dated, but it's really good to watch. Get Out, of course, Jordan Peele, Daniel Kaluuya. It's a really good movie. It's Jordan Peele's, you know, it's his breakout directorial debut. Really good. You guys should check it out. Again, back in the day, one of the first black sci-fis and first black superhero film was Meteor Man with Robert Townsend. Now, it was a bit silly, I'm not going to lie, but it was pretty cool. You know, he was a superhero that kind of got his powers. He was a good guy that got his powers from a green rock. You know, of course, it was a thing like Kryptonite, stuff like that. But it was pretty cool. It was fun. It was fun, and it was good for kids to watch and everything like that. So that, again, from like the 80s or something like that, early 90s, 80s, something like that. Attack the Block with John Boyega. That was a really good film. English-based film. Really good sci-fi. Some aliens attack. Some different kind of aliens. They look like evil Muppets, to tell the truth. But they were not playing. They were scary. It's a little bit scary for kids. I wouldn't say it was a horror movie, but it was like a sci-fi kind of older family thriller. You know, not little kids, but like teenagers could enjoy it and stuff like that. Attack of the Block was really good. Will Smith in two movies, I Am Legend, and also in Hancock. Now, Hancock was a great sci-fi. You had Black Superman that went out and did his thing, but, you know, he did it on his own terms. He wasn't like Goody Two-Shoe Superman. There's another film that a lot of people don't look at, or a lot of people haven't watched. It's starring Sidney Poitier, rest in peace, passed away recently. Brother John, movie that was done in the 70s. It's you don't know exactly what's happening, but it's a character of John who's going around the world and he's taking notes and he comes back to his hometown and you're wondering why he's taking notes. And he's really like this sort of like mature kind of spiritual type person. But he's on a mission. He says he's on a mission and you start to see what the mission is. I liked it because one, you didn't see a black person in this role before. It wasn't like in the heat of the night or anything like that. He was kind of, it was almost like Brother John was like on another plane emotionally or mentally, spiritually, and he was just, you could tell that he was kind of judging everything for what reason you want to find out. So that was pretty cool. Blade, of course, one of the greatest black science fictions, horror, you know, sci-fi, fantasy. It was definitely sci-fi because of kind of like the science that they had in it too. Like the vampires had science, Blade has some particular science and stuff like that. So that was interesting. Pitch Black, I don't know if a lot of people know, but you know, it is rumored that Vin Diesel does have you know, he is biracial on the black side. So, you know, I don't know for sure, but there's been a lot of people that have said that that's the case. I don't know if Vin Diesel himself has said it. Maybe he has. Denzel Washington's Deja Vu was a really good movie, and I should add that to the romantic sci-fi list. Denzel Washington is a detective that's trying to, well, he was too late in stopping this boat from being destroyed, this large kind of like a ocean liner type situation where the boat was destroyed and a lot of people drowned and everything. He starts to find out that there's a girl that's connected to it with the bomber that destroyed the boat. And somebody contacts him, an agency contacts him, and he finds out that they can look back in time, but they can't go back in time. They can just look back in time at things happening. And he starts to piece together who it is, but also falls in love with a character, Paula Patton. who is back in time, is dead in his present, but is alive in his past. So that's a really interesting one. TV shows, one that I love with Taye Diggs in it, Daybreak, where a character, he's a detective, and suddenly he starts living the same day over and over again. It's a, I believe it's a 12-episode series. And it's kind of nice in that it wraps up. You can watch the series and it'll wrap up the story really nice in one season. It only lasted one season, but it's one of my favorite because it's like meeting 24 and Groundhog's Day. It's like a combination of 24 and Groundhog's Day where you got to solve something within a day and the day resets and Taye Diggs can remember everything. His character can. But not everybody else, so he's got a kind of finagle through that. Classic Homeboys from Outer Space. Homeboys from Outer Space, from the 90s, I believe, like late 90s, 2000s. Classic sci-fi. If you talk about black sci-fi, that's one of the memorable ones that they've had. Undercovers, what's his name? Cujo and Gugu Mbatha-Raw were a husband and spy team. They knew all these languages. They had all these gadgets. It was a nice little spy, you know, family spy kind of a heart-to-heart. If you guys remember heart-to-heart, it's kind of a redone of heart-to-heart. I'll always give J.J. Abrams credit for doing something like this and putting it on NBC and putting it out in the public. It didn't last. I don't think people got it, but I thought it was a great show. Mantis is by far one of the it was kind of like Black Panther almost. Yeah, the brother, I think he was of African descent, and he had two helpers, and he would dress up in this Mantis outfit with this car, this cool ass car, and he would just solve crime. He would shoot you with these Mantis darts and paralyze people. Yo, it's it was bad, but I think not Sam Raimi. I forgot who did it. It's one of the directors of the X-Men, but gets a lot of credit. You had a black star on camera. It was really good, and of course Luke Cage. Netflix's Luke Cage, who I hope they're bringing into the Marvel universe. I believe they're bringing him into the Marvel Disney Plus universe, but Marvel's Luke Cage, which is going to be taken off of Netflix come March 1st, is really good. I don't know if you guys will get a chance to watch. It's very good. I would say it's very good. That's it. That's it for the black sci-fi TV shows. There's a few others that I missed, of course, but those are the ones that came to mind and whatnot. You guys tell me. You guys remind me of any other show that I missed that had black, that had a black lead, or movie that had a black lead that was sci-fi based. Okay, coming down, winding down on the podcast. I hope you guys have enjoyed it so far, but I want to give you a review of Moonfall. Woo! Moonfall was first of all, Roland Emmerich, he's a director. He did Independence Day. He did, 2012. He did Day After Tomorrow. He did Independence Day Resurgence. He did a few others. He's always destroying the planet. Moonfall, he destroyed the heck out of the planet. He really jacked up the moon, but there was a twist in it. Not going to tell you. Maybe some of y'all didn't watch the trailer, but there was a twist in it. So basically, Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson, they're astronauts and they're on a mission in the beginning of the movie, and all of a sudden there's this black cloud, this crystally cloud, the black crystal cloud that comes in, kind of attacks Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson, and there's another character there. The other character gets swept away. They're in space. They're fixing a satellite with the space shuttle or whatever. And the character, one of the characters gets thrown in space, whatever. Not to spoil it, but just for his setup, you know, Halle Berry, they all think that Patrick Wilson's crazy because he's the only one that saw it. And he becomes like a has-been astronaut. Halle Berry, she's moved to another part of NASA. All of a sudden, they're having trouble. the moon is starting to move closer to Earth and they don't know why. Meanwhile, John Bradley, he plays a character that's a scientist that predicted, or not predicted, but sees the astrological movements of the moon and knows that the moon is moving close to Earth. Okay, so that's the situation. Now, we all know that the gravity of the moon is crazy. And in the show, even in the trailer, you see how close the moon is to Earth. And I'm like, yo, the planet's going to get destroyed. But Roland Emmerich, some of his science is good. And some of his science, I feel, is off, which is, you know, it's hard to swallow some of the situations that you're seeing and whatever. But he really did destroy a lot of the planet. Like, things got jacked up. It's surprising that it had such a happy end. I kind of felt that way with Independence Day. Like, so many humans got destroyed, and yet they had such a happy ending and whatnot. Not to spoil it, but this had a lot of people struggling and, you know, trying to survive and stuff like that. And I'm like, nah, I don't think you would survive in that situation. I don't think none of y'all would survive at all. But it was interesting. It didn't have too much comedy, but John Bradley, he did add a lot to it. And I don't know. It was just a lot going on. I felt like it was like Independence Day Part 3 or something like that. You had aliens, you had other alien stuff like that. Excuse me. And I just felt like it was a lot going on. But you know what? Emmerich does a lot of this. Emmerich does, like, he's had a lot to do. He directed Stargate, I believe, back in the day. Or at least I know that he wrote the story. He helped to write the story. And he worked on Stargate and Stargate Universe and stuff like that. Stargate Land and stuff like that. So he's been in Stargate mix, and he does love his alien situation. So I was curious about it. I liked Independence Day. I didn't think this was nearly as good as Independence Day, but the storyline and the science fiction of it was really interesting. Even if it didn't match up with the science as far as what could be possible, or whatever, the science fiction of it was interesting. Like, I did kind of brighten up when they were showing, like, some of the origins of things and stuff like that. So I would say, you know, maybe not the theater. It only made $10 million in theater, like I mentioned in an earlier podcast. I don't know if you guys want to see it, but I would probably wait till it comes on one of the streaming services and whatnot. But I didn't hate it. I just, I don't know. I liked it okay, but it was schlock. it was a lot of mess. Anyway, you've been listening to Geek Soul Brother. My name's Geek Soul Brother. I've been around for a while. You know, I'm a mature brother that just has seen a lot of sci-fi, a lot of TV shows from back in the day. And I just want to pass it to you, but I also want to put you guys on to some new stuff all the time. I just want to let you guys know what's hot coming out. Not for anybody's benefit, but ours, you know, just for the enjoyment of it all. I really enjoy talking about this stuff. I love the feedback. So find me on social media. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And hit me back. You know, I got a Patreon account, so if you want to throw $1 a month or something like that, I would appreciate that. I would really love to do events. So I don't know, look forward to that. Or if you guys got any ideas of what kind of events you would love for me to do, I'm in the tri-state eastern area, so we're talking about New York, New Jersey, stuff like that, Philadelphia, stuff like that. So if you want me to do some type of events or something like that, just let me know, hit me up, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show. I ran a little bit over. I usually try to do it an hour, but I had to get that Moonfall. I had to get that Moonfall review in. Go see if you guys want to see a romantic film and whatnot. That's based on sci-fi. Needle in Time Stack. I really like that. And Yeah, one of my favorites. Again, Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind. Happy Valentine's. Happy Black History Month. I'm going to do some more for Black History Month in coming episodes. But you guys take care. Just want to, and just to let you know, music done by James McJimmy, a.k.a. Walker Brothers Crafts. And your fan to fix is owned by Geek Soul Brother Brand, all rights reserved. Hope you guys had a good time. Talk to you guys later. Peace.